Let's start with a couple of questions today. Do you and your spouse make all major decisions together, or maybe does one person dominate the decision making? And do either of you feel sort of resentful about maybe certain domains in the relationship, like chores or money, especially when it comes around to those decisions?
Do both of you have the power to veto something if it threatens the safety of your relationship without it becoming a big fight?
Ooh.
Do disagreements lead to collaboration or to power plays?
Such good questions. If these questions stir something in you, then today's episode is definitely for you. Coming up next on Master Your Marriage.
Did you know the average couple waits 6 years to get help in their marriage?
Yeah, that's 6 years of pain, hurt, and frustration.
Hi there, I'm Charla Snow.
And I'm Robert Snow.
And welcome to Master Your Marriage,
where we believe that having an amazing marriage should never feel like hard work and shouldn't be a guessing game.
This is the show for married couples who want to discover a scientifically proven approach to building a masterful marriage and have fun while doing it.
So if that's you, you're in the right place. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to Master Your Marriage. This is part four in our Secure Relationship series. We've been getting some amazing feedback from all of you, and thank you so much for sharing your stories with us. One listener wrote in saying that after hearing about the couple bubble last week, she and her husband sat down and started journaling the principles they wanted to bring into their relationship. It sparked their first real conversation about principles that they had ever had.
So if you're just jumping into this series now, you might want to go back and catch up on the first three episodes because we're building those ideas week by week. And today we are taking the concept of the couple bubble and we're turning it into a practical system for how you and your partner can actually begin to lead each other without the power struggles that sneak in and destroy so many relationships.
So the couple bubble that we talked about last week comes from the work of Dr. Stan Tatkin, and it's the invisible force field that you and your spouse can build together really to protect the safety and security of your relationship. We talked about the importance of having agreed upon principles in your relationship that protect and keep the bubble strong. Both parties must fully buy in to this agreed principles in order for the collaboration to work.
Exactly. So now building on that, today we are going to talk about establishing a system of governance in your relationship. And this is the system for how you will govern each other in order to protect each other from the other one. And I know that sounds a little bit controlling. And I think this is very high level type of work that we're going to be talking about today. And it can be used inappropriately.
Yeah.
It can be misused. And so we want to start out by saying that this, what we're going to share with you and teach you today, is only going to work if both of you have already decided that those first three principles that we talked about in the last three episodes are for you.
Yes.
So if you've already decided, yes, I want a secure relationship. Yes, we believe in being equals in parity. Yes, we believe in putting our relationship first and always allies, never adversaries, then this will work really well for you.
Yeah, those first three principles are so important.
But if you are not, then this could be used in a way that would be manipulative. And so you have to have those three principles, I think, first.
Yeah, and that's why we say this is part four. This is very foundational. Parts one and two and three really need to be thoroughly vetted. Both parties need to listen to that and agree that that's the way forward before we take on part four.
Okay. So then a system of governance would be the system. And we're going to talk today about how to establish a system where you can govern each other and hold one another accountable to the principles that you've decided on. So a governing system is kind of like creating a shared constitution. And in it, you'll define, the two of you together will define how you make decisions, how you will handle conflicts, what principles that you believe in as a couple, and how you are going to hold each other accountable to those agreements and to those principles that you've made with each other. Now, without a system in place, what happens is you risk chaos and you risk what most couples find themselves in, which is a power struggle. And a power struggle is going to always inevitably deflate or pop that couple bubble that we talked about last week, which is that thing that keeps that relationship safe and secure.
So is now a good time to just share a little story about one of our governing principles?
Sure, if you want to.
So if you've heard the story before, and so I just thought about it as we're talking about governance, because I think sometimes governance sounds a little strong, but it's definitely the right term. So Charlotte and I have just one little thing that we like to say. If the other person is speaking a little too short,
sharp or short, harshly,
we've sort of agreed upon this one little term. And we say, you know, that was a little sharp.
Right. So why does that work for us? Because a lot of people hear us use that and they think, wow, that was a little rude to say that was a little sharp, Robert or Charlotte, that was a little sharp. But it's kind of like what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Once we've agreed that we're going to talk to each other in a certain way, then we're okay with getting that feedback from each other.
Yeah, and especially because it's early in the situation before things get spun up. Charlotte will say, you know, that was a little sharp. And so that is, as we're introducing this topic of governance, that is our way to govern how we speak to each other.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
That's a good little foreshadowing. We're going to get deeper into this today.
Okay. So moving along, why does governance matter so much? Because in any partnership, leadership should never be about control. It's always about teamwork. It's always about collaboration and cooperation. And if you don't have a clear way to govern, then we're pretty much left to our automatic functioning. And that's the wild, wild west of relationships. One person might steamroll all of the decisions. One person may withdraw or accommodate resentfully. And when these things happen, it creates irritation. And much like what happens in the body, irritation can cause inflammation. And when inflammation becomes chronic, it damages the system and the organs. The same is true in our relationships. Ongoing irritations will cause relationship inflammation that over time causes damage and pain in the relationship and to the overall system.
I hope
that made sense.
Yeah, it totally does, because that's why it helps to have a system of governance, is to prevent relationship inflammation.
Right. So we have these principles, and then we need a way to hold each other accountable to these principles. And that is what governance.
Now, a key aspect of this is that we have to address, I think, before we can talk about how to do it, is we have to understand the idea of accepting influence. Such an important, if you can't accept influence, this episode is not for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Without a doubt.
John Gottman talks a lot about accepting influence as a key to happy marriages. And in fact, his research actually shows that 81% of couples who fail to accept influence from one another will eventually split up. Think about that. That's a huge number, 81%. If you're not accepting, if Robert is not accepting influence from me, I'm not accepting influence from him, our relationship is higher statistically of ending than typical. So what is accepting influence? It's the idea that you allow your partner's perspective to shape your own, especially in those areas where you have strong opinions. And Stan Tatkin kind of has a little slightly different spin on the same idea, where he introduces it more like shared leadership. For him, he talks about accepting influence as shared leadership, where you both govern each other and where you both have veto power at any time about any decision if something threatens the relationship's safety. If Robert presents an idea or something he wants to do, if I feel like that threatens the safety of our relationship, I have veto power, and vice versa.
Right.
Okay. So without a governance system, like Robert kind of said earlier about the wild, wild west, right? It's like running a country without laws or leaders. And that would obviously be total chaos. And you would end up with a country or a city that was in power struggle. And in a relationship, same thing. You'd be in a power struggle where likely one person could be dominating, another person is feeling unheard. And then what's that going to do to that couple bubble?
Let me share a story, and it's different than the other one that I shared. So this isn't about any one couple. It's a blend of experiences from clients we've worked with in the past. So we have Alex and Jordan. They've been married for 8 years. They have 2 kids. And early on, Alex handled all the finances because he was, quote, better with numbers, close quote. Jordan trusted him at first, but over time, she felt a little bit shut out when it came to the finances. She didn't feel included in the decision-making. And she definitely didn't feel like she had an equal shareholder in making financial decisions. And that's something she should have brought up. When she suggested budgeting for a vacation, Alex would dismiss this as, well, that's not practical. I've got it handled, without really discussing it. Jordan started resenting him and the way he handled the finances, feeling like she had no say in the money domain of their marriage and relationship. Then they had a pretty rough year, and Alex made some risky investments without discussing it with Jordan. Those investments resulted in losing some money. And then, of course, that's when all of the resentment and the hard feelings exploded. Started with the, you never listen to me, this is all your fault. But in truth, they were both at fault for failing to have agreements and not having a system of governance. It took them months of coaching to rebuild their relationship and to rebuild a governance system where they could truly share power and responsibility.
Now, as we talked about last week a little bit, Alex and Jordan were really not much different than Robert and I early on in our relationship.
Robert and Charlotte?
Yeah, except we didn't really fight about money. That wasn't our issue. But when it came to parenting, we struggled for a really long time because
nobody gave us the same good advice for parenting.
I guess we only applied it to finances, not to parenting.
Yeah, evidently.
And we were not equal shareholders in the parenting domain of our marriage. And I didn't like Robert's style of parenting. I didn't like his style of discipline. And because I didn't, I would frequently undermine him. And I would sometimes disagree with him in front of the kids. I would kind of block him in front of the kids. I didn't have his back. I often used threats or shame or fear to get him to do things my way. Robert, you know, he kind of wanted to have more structure, I think a little bit more discipline, whereas my style of parenting was probably a little bit more go with the flow. It was rough. And we were really locked into this power struggle over parenting for years because we didn't have a system.
No, we didn't have any agreements when it came to that.
We had zero agreements. We never talked about it. We never talked about how we were going to parent together. And that's when most of our problems, we had babies pretty quickly after getting married. And that's when things really became difficult for us in our marriage.
That's when the marriage became the grind.
It did.
Yeah.
I look back and I think now if we had had a system of governance, it would have required a lot of maturity from the two of us to be able to put one in place.
Yes.
Because as I look back to my maturity level at that time, I wouldn't have wanted one.
No. You wouldn't have wanted one.
I wouldn't have wanted one.
You wouldn't have been able to be in control.
Right. I wouldn't have wanted to have...
Your young Charlotte brain.
I wanted my way. Yes. My way or the highway. That there was no parity in our relationship in that domain. And so it wouldn't have worked for us unless maybe we had got some therapy or some coaching and we really understood it. So, but if we had, and if someone could have taught that to us and we could have grasped that idea early on, it would have changed a lot for us.
Yeah, absolutely. So what does a good governance system look like anyway?
Good question.
It starts with mutual influence. I find that couples who normalize saying things like, you know, that's a good point, or I hadn't thought of things that way, or let's try that at least and see how it works. These couples are way more likely to have a strong couple bubble. They're more likely to stay connected. Let's go back to the example with Alex and Jordan. There was nothing wrong with Alex taking the lead on finances, especially if he had the experience in that domain. But where he went wrong was he didn't accept Jordan's influence or even any comment in this scenario. The key is veto power. If the decision feels like it threatens the bubble or the safety and security of the relationship, either of you, either or, can pause and say, you know, this doesn't feel quite right. Let's take a second. Let's back up and let's talk this through.
Right. And this is where principles and having principles for your relationship are so important. We can't really set up a system of governance if we don't first have principles. That was actually the homework we gave you guys last week, was to talk about the principles that you would like to have in your relationship. And your governance system is built on those principles that you both have bought into. And I think it's really important to go back and talk about something we introduced last week, is that the principles that you choose for your relationship, you both have to buy into those principles for yourself first, selfishly. And the reason why is if you don't want it for yourself first, it can become something that is easily manipulated. But let's say, for example, maybe we have a principle and I introduce it to Robert, or he introduces it to me, and we say, hey, I think it would be really great to have a principle that we always protect each other in public. And we always have each other's back in public and even in front of the kids. And we'll always have each other's back. I mean, that would have been something for us that would have, if we had had that principle, just that one principle in our system of governance, how would that have changed our parenting?
I mean, a lot. I mean, you might have been able to talk to me or me talk to you in private.
But, and work things out.
But to be able to be on the same page in front of the kids, yeah.
Would have made a huge
difference.
And
I remember saying that. Like, I feel like I'm being undermined at times.
Right. Yeah. But it wasn't a principle for me. And it has to be something that is first and foremost, individually, we both have to want it. We both have to selfishly want that for ourselves. It can't be something that, like, I just force Robert into, or he forces me into, and okay, I just want you off my back, so I'm going to agree with doing this way. It needs to be something that you genuinely want that you can defend as something that is good for you personally. And if you don't have that buy-in, then that governance system is going to fall apart. Because the minute the emotions run high, like if we're having a fight about the kids, if I don't really believe in having your back, the minute I'm flooded, the minute we're having a fight, am I going to stick to that?
All done.
Done.
Yeah. Okay, let's break down some practical examples of some principles that we think are pretty important. We're going to share some ideas that you may or may want to incorporate. As you think about these principles that we're going to talk about, just see if they resonate with you and your relationship. Feel free to take what you want. These are just examples that work for us. Okay, principle number one, we always protect the safety and security of our relationship no matter what. And it is our top priority and we won't let anything compromise it.
Yeah, I think that's a really important principle for everyone to be like number one.
Yes.
If you were creating a constitution, is that our relationship, no matter what, safety and security comes first.
Yes, absolutely.
So the second principle that Robert and I both think is really important is that our relationship needs to run on true parity. Every decision has to work for me, for you, and for us. We need to be equal partners. We are equal partners. And we, no matter what we decide, we do it together and we share the wins and the losses together. And this is important to us now because for so long it wasn't.
Yeah. All right. Principle number three, we never threaten to end things or walk away. The word divorce or separation is never uttered in our relationship.
That's our principle,
that's
right?
Our
that's
principle.
One of our agreements that we have. Number four is we shield each other from harm. Now that harm could be from outsiders. More often it's from within, right? With like the worst in myself. So I'm shielding Robert from the worst in me. And then to go along with that, in public or private, we always have each other's backs. So that's a principle we think is important.
Principle number five, we repair hurts and ruptures fast without pointing fingers or debating who started it.
And to kind of go along with that, number six is we strive to never argue over who remembers what from the past, because our next principle is that memories are never accurate and fighting about them just wastes time and energy. So
many arguments over who remembered what.
I know. And nobody has a God camera. So that's one of our principles.
Yep, that has to be where it is.
Okay.
Principle number seven, when we need to persuade or influence the other person, as in accepting influence, we do it with respect, with understanding. There's no shame, there's no threats, and there's no fear.
Yeah, so important that when we are expressing a need or something that we're trying to like persuade the other person to do or to help us to do, that there's never any shame or fear or blame or threats in order to make that happen.
Yeah. Without a doubt.
Okay, number eight is that we are each other's first call for everything important and any important matters. I call Robert first and he calls me first and he is who I turn to. And no matter what, 24/7, we can lean on the other person for support. So if it's 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm feeling sad, he's there for me. And same in reverse. So we're always there for one another.
Yeah, I think so. Like a perfect example of just that. It's like you can tell my voice is a little froggy. Like I had a fever yesterday and I just called her and told her like, hey, I'm coming home. We can't record. I need to go to bed. And, you know, Charlotte was just great. She just flipped the script and, you know, put me in bed, gave me some medicine, get me better, ready to go. And so we're here today. Principle number nine, we build daily rituals to keep our bubble strong, like waking up together, sharing goodbyes and hellos, winding down at night. Maybe asking about how the day is going. These are all daily rituals, and this just adds a little strength to that bubble.
And number 10 is that every day we share a little gesture of appreciation or admiration or thanks to one another. It's not all encompassing, but I think those are 10 of maybe some of our most important principles that you guys might want to consider tweaking and making your own. But again, they need to be your principles that both of you agree to. You know, we talked about this today and Robert said, you know, early on in our marriage, if you told me that, you know, you had a certain principle, I would have just agreed with you just to get you off my back.
Yeah, fair
enough. That's not good, right? Now, when either one of us presents an idea of like, hey, I think this should be an important principle in our relationship. And if I share it with Robert and he's like, yeah, I think that's a good idea. I'm like, I want you to tell me why that's important to you. I want you to convince me that you actually want this, that you're not just placating to me, because otherwise it's not really going to work.
Yeah, without a doubt. This leads us now to the fourth core principle in our series. Establish a system of governance based on shared principle and shared power, the thing we've called parity. This system protects your alliance by preventing chaos and resentment. Of course, we're not going to be perfect at it. I'm not, which is why we need to talk about how we're going to enforce our principles.
Exactly. Now, here's the next piece that we kind of talked a little about earlier when you shared your story about how we use that phrase that was a little bit sharp.
Yeah.
What that is a guardrail. And so we need to talk about guardrails, because once you have your governance system and principles kind of decided and you're testing them out and you're working with them, you need to have some guardrails to help you to keep things on track for when you inevitably do mess up, because we all mess up. And guardrails are kind of like bumpers that are at the bowling alley, that if you, you know, aren't a great bowler and you throw the ball down the lane and your ball's heading to the gutter, that the bumpers are what keep your ball in the lane.
And so we're saying the guardrails keep us out of the gutter.
Yes.
Out of the mess.
And the same is true in our relationships, right? Yeah, guardrails are going to keep you out of the mess.
Yeah.
And what they are is they're these pre-decided permissions. Like that was a little sharp, which are cues that you can give to each other to remind the other person or to cue the other person, or maybe even kind of limit the other person's behavior that is harmful. And again, that was a little bit sharp, is one of those guardrails we have in place when something is said that is hurting the safety and security of our relationship.
Yeah.
Because we all have these reflexive habits and these autopilot behaviors that run in the background 90% of our life that can take over. So, you know, sometimes we may not even realize that we've hurt the other person. And so guardrails help us to learn how to love each other well and how to get better at loving one another over time.
And I love that. I love the concept of guardrails. And couples can absolutely train each other into these better, more mature behaviors and also sort of train out the harmful ones. But it takes sort of these in the moment reminders. Just like when I talked about that's a little sharp, well, I could get a little stressed sometimes. And when I have a lot on my mind, I may say something that's a little sharp. And it's just this gentle reminder where Charlotte just tells me. And the hard part is not only just saying it, but agreeing upon the answer. And that's when it snaps me out of it. It's a little bit of a pattern interrupt. And I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm sorry. Actually, let me just try that again.
But the key in what you just said that I think is what is most important is that these guardrails are things that we've agreed upon in advance that we do in the moment.
Yeah.
Because if I just wait, say, a week, and then I come to you with a complaint about how you were really sharp with me a week ago, that is a lot different. That feels a bit like rubbing a dog's nose in a mess weekdays later or hours later. And that just is so much less effective and it tends to bring on so much more defensiveness. But if I can give him a gentle cue or he can give me a gentle cue right in the moment, then what you just said, it interrupts the pattern that was about to happen and it replaces that old behavior with a new behavior right away.
I'm looking for the right word. It's a more productive behavior.
Yeah.
Would that be the right word?
More productive, more resourceful,
more resourceful behavior. Yeah. And this is what marriage does. Marriage grows you up. It helps you grow in your relationship. It makes you better at it. And that's the challenge. Will you let marriage, will you let this relationship grow you? Will you let your partner help you grow and see those blind spots? The blind spots where I might get short because I'm a little stressed.
But that takes the ability to, you know, be mature enough to accept influence and to receive feedback.
And I know you might be listening to this going like, oh man, she says that was a little sharp. Wouldn't he just get mad about it? But if you think about maybe some of the things that Dr. John Gottman talks about with, like, can we do immediate and rapid repair attempts?
Yes.
And the people that are repairing often and early have much more satisfying relationships. And we take that and compound it with the fact that we've agreed upon saying, I think that was a little sharp, as our version of a pattern interrupt. And really, it's no longer offensive.
No.
I think at first I was like, oh man, really? Like, she's going to say this to me? And now I'm just like, you know what? Because that wasn't my intent. My intent wasn't to be sharp. And so if she just tells me about that, I bump up against the guardrail.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, there's the guardrail. Yeah, no, let me just adjust and let me be a better version of myself. Let me be more mature and just apologize quickly. We're back into harmony and, you know, things work out better that way.
Repairs work so much better if you can repair early and often. You know, if I wait a week and try to correct you a week later on this, You know, there's just so much more resentment that's been built up in that amount of time. Whereas not only do I feel better in the moment and we can get back into harmony more quickly, we don't learn a week later. We learn in the moment. That's right. When it's important to learn is in the moment.
Yeah. And that's this whole concept of governance. We talked about the guardrails, right? They're really just guardrails to keep us from going out of bounds into the gutter and be able to help us modify our behavior in the moment and choose a better, more resourceful answer or response.
I love it. Maybe one more example would help. So let's say someone interrupts a lot and you've decided as a couple that both of you agree to a particular principle in your relationship that we listen. We're going to listen fully before we respond. So now the first step would be, I want to make sure this is really good for you as well as good for me. Okay. So we both have to want it. That's the principle part that it has. There has to be parity. But then you would go one step further and say, okay, what would be maybe a guardrail for this? And so maybe you decide and you give permission both ways. What's good for the goose is good for the gander, right? Yep. So we give permission both ways so that if we interrupt each other, maybe we say something like, hey, babe, gently, you know what? Can I finish my thought? And just like Robert's example of that was a little harsh, that could be your reminder, just a gentle little thing like, oh, I didn't realize I was talking over you. I didn't realize that you weren't feeling heard. I didn't realize that I wasn't letting you finish your sentence. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
And so it's a cue, right? It's a cue to help the person rather than criticizing. But again, if you stay silent, you're not, and wait a week or not say anything at all, you're not helping your partner to live up to the principles that you've both decided on, that you've both bought into.
So how do you set up these guardrails? As you talk about your principles, you can discuss specific guardrails that could be tied to the principles that you've both agreed to.
We've both decided we can say that was a little sharp and neither of us are going to be offended by that.
Yeah. So interesting, much like going to batting practice if you're playing baseball, where it's a low pressure situation. You swing, you hit, you don't hit, you don't hit the ball as well. All of these tips take a little practice. Better to practice in a non-game time situation.
Absolutely.
I.e. when it's low pressure and low stress, than to try and remember how to practice this when tensions are high, when everything else. So much like all the tools that we give, always good to practice these things when you're calm so that you can remember to use them correctly when you need them.
And maybe we practice that a few times.
Yeah.
So whatever you decide your guardrails are, practice them. Like Robert said, that's a great pro tip because you won't remember them and you won't use them properly. And yes, it'll feel awkward when you practice them for 5 or 10 or 15 times, but continue to practice what you've determined are your guardrails during the non-game time so that you can retrieve them when you actually need them.
Yeah. When the game's on the line, you got to be able to do it right. Okay. Let's leave you with some ways to apply some of the things we talked about today. Number one, practice accepting influence. Next time your partner suggests something, respond to them with, tell me more about that and tell me why that matters to you.
Instead
of just saying no.
You say that to me all the time and I love that.
It's always when I'm curious about why you bring something up. I'm like, tell me more about that. I just want to be curious.
So another way that you can implement what we've been talking about today is to think about maybe making a relationship charter for your marriage or for your relationship, kind of like a mini constitution, and start small. Start with maybe writing down 3 or 4, maybe 5 principles that you're going to create in this system of governance that you're creating that is intended to protect your bubble. Keep your bubble strong, but just make sure that you both want these principles and that you can both defend these principles or as things that you both want individually. Don't just agree to it because you want to get the other person off your back. Agree to it because you see how it benefits you and benefits the relationship.
All right. Number 3, then add guardrails together for each principle, brainstorm an in-the-moment cue that you can use, much like ours for if you're a little sharp, and then give each other explicit permission to remind gently. Now, we do have some handouts in the show notes.
I did. I made a quick little handout. It's just in my Google Drive. It's just going to be a free handout. I'm going to link to it in the show notes. But basically, I took those 10 principles that we talked about earlier in the show that we have in our relationship that we think might be great ones for you. And then I created some potential guardrails for each of those 10.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then there's space for you to write your own. So these are just ideas, but then you want to make it your own and create your own principles with your own guardrails.
That's so cool.
Your guardrails are there to be repair attempts. They're not there to be used as a weapon, because I can see people using guardrails as a weapon, and that's not what they're for. They're for repair.
All right. I think that's probably enough for today. You guys have some homework. It's been a big episode, and I know there's a lot of
things to think about.
A lot of things to think about that. But thanks for listening with us today, this week again. If this episode resonated with you, please subscribe, leave us a 5-star rating and a view. It really helps more couples find us. And if you know anybody who could benefit from this series or any one of our episodes, please, please share it with them.
Remember to be kind to each other this week. Put each other first. Remember, it's the small things done often that create the biggest impact.
Until next week.
Thank you for listening to Master Your Marriage. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover, then we want to hear from you. Just go to MasterYourMarriagePodcast.com and send us your question.
Oh, and while you're there, you can also check out our retreats and events and even apply for coaching.
And make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you get advanced notice of when the next episode drops, plus show notes and many extras. Thanks again for tuning in.